I speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. On Tuesday, I had the chance to go see the Lakers play the Warriors at Crypto Arena. And before you even ask, yes, I am a Warriors fan. But as my friends and I hung around after the game and watched some of the players give post-game interviews, I was reminded of how Steph Curry, one of the very famous Warriors players, will sometimes conclude his interviews by saying, "All glory to God," before running off into the locker room to go and join his teammates. Now, I have to be honest, I usually cringe when professional athletes say something religious after games, mostly because I don't think God really cares about who wins or loses a sporting match. But in this particular case, Steph Curry got me thinking about how we bear witness to God in our lives. A priest friend of mine used to say that he tried to envision everything that he did as a clergy person as giving glory to God, even those difficult and challenging aspects of the vocation. Famous artists like Johann Sebastian Bach and George Frederick Handel used to signify that their music was produced for giving praise to God by writing "Soli Deo Gloria," to God the glory alone, at the end of every piece of music they wrote. In our liturgy, we often sing the Gloria in Excelsis, glory to God, at the beginning of our services, bearing witness to God in and through our lives is an important aspect of what it means to be a Christian. The gospel story we hear this morning aims to provide reassurance to the disciples amidst their confusion and fear, and it also commissions them to go out into the world bearing witness to the work of God, to preach the gospel, if you will. Now, you may have noticed that there is a particular focus on Jesus' earthly body in our gospel story this morning. And this serves a point. It helps not only to assuage the fear and disbelief of the disciples who thought that they were seeing a ghost, pretty scary stuff, but it also represents Jesus as an embodied person, alive and beyond the grave. It indicates the continuity between Jesus' life before the crucifixion and his existence after the resurrection. Death cannot contain Jesus and those things that Jesus does. And we hear that upon returning to his disciples, Jesus greets them with the words, "Peace be with you." It's a phrase that communicates a wish for communal well-being, very much related to the Hebrew notion of shalom. And in Luke's gospel, it's also used as a way to communicate salvation, God's goodness and God's grace towards us. Even after the crucifixion, Jesus continues to reconcile. He continues to offer God's salvation. He continues to empower his disciples to offer forgiveness of sins to all nations. The risen Christ appears to the disciples to assure them that he lives and to help them see the bigger picture. Jesus opens the disciples' minds to the work that God has been doing all along. From the beginning of his gospel, Luke the evangelist tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption for all of creation. In our lesson this morning, it all comes full circle. In appearing to his disciples, Jesus demonstrates God's ability to turn the ugliness of the crucifixion into the transforming power of the resurrection. What the disciples see in Jesus' resurrected body is God's ability to bring new life out of death. Jesus' whole life and ministry, his dying and his rising, are all about what God has been doing from the very beginning, reconciling the world to God's self. All the writings from the Old Testament, from the laws of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, have been about God and God's purposes for creation. Nothing, not even death, will prevent God from seeking to be in relationship with creation. Nothing can stop God from being God. And yet, the world remains oppressive and inhospitable for many. There is war, there is famine, there is a climate crisis, political polarization, violence, and suffering still very much exist in our world. I recently came across a piece of writing by an Episcopal scholar who suggested that so much of our brokenness, so much of the violence in our world today comes from what we might call this us versus them mentality. He pointed out that every conflict relies on individuals surrendering their morality to what he calls this mob rule mentality. We hear Peter, in the first lesson we heard earlier from Acts, address this kind of mob rule mentality. As Peter preaches in Acts, he uses the second person plural to address the crowd. He doesn't single out individuals from the crowd that called for Jesus' crucifixion, but rather he speaks of a group as a whole that failed to do the right thing. He's saying, y'all rejected Jesus. Y'all rejected the Holy and Righteous One. And this mob rule mentality that Peter speaks against can hijack our morality and can lead to the dehumanization of the other. There have been all sorts of atrocities throughout history where violence has been perpetrated against the outgroup because of this kind of mentality. Think of the Holocaust or lynch mobs preying on Black Americans. Violence committed against our LGBTQ siblings, cyberbullying in this day and age. But Jesus comes to his disciples this morning offering another way that frees us from the ways of violence and the mob rule. In the gospel today, Jesus shows the disciples his resurrected body and opens their minds to understand that nothing will prevent God from being God. Jesus tells his followers that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Nothing will ever stop God from trying to free us from those things that separate us from one another and from God. And when we allow ourselves to bask in God's grace, God's love that never, ever leaves us, our perception of the world and our relationships begin to shift. We begin to see the world the way God sees the world. We begin to see that the brokenness in our world, in the people around us, and in our lives does not have the final word. Jesus commissions his disciples to proclaim that tragedy, despair, and death are not ultimate. God is. Nothing will ever stop God from working to redeem the world. God, the giver of life and mercy, is ever ready to offer shalom so that peace, well-being, and order and hope might prevail. Jesus offers his presence to his disciples as they break bread together, so that they might bear witness to these things. He reminds his disciples and us that our true identity is grounded in a divine love, and not even the darkest days or our darkest impulses will prevent God from helping us to realize this. All glory be to God. Amen.